Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Val's Corner. I'm your host, Valerie Broplay, and you are having a corner conversation with Val. So welcome back guys to another episode. I'm so excited. Before this, I still don't know why I'm so excited because we're talking about very two serious things, but after reading and like studying for this episode, for some reason, I just got a joy of assignment in my heart. And it's like, I can't explain it. That must be God. But yeah, so if you haven't watched last week's episode with my pastor, Lissette Rodriguez, please go and give it a watch. And I hope it blesses you because we're talking about Proverbs 31, women, what it means, how to be one. But also mostly, she just talked about how to be a woman of God and how to be yourself. And at the end of the video, little spoiler alert, she talked about being the best version of yourself, not ideally a Proverbs 31 woman. That's something you just walk in. That's something like you just steady and, but like it's who you are and who's your character. Because she, in the end, she's like, you have to be the best version of yourself and best version of who God called you to be. So, because I asked the question about singleness, and in your singleness, you really have to learn to be who God called you to be. Be that best person you can be, that in quotation, like people always say, be that Proverbs 31 woman. Have that characteristic. So today we're talking about purity and singleness. Because during my singleness journey, I had to go through figuring out purity and being, staying away from sexual sin and all of that. So I want to get to that. I just want to say, before we get into today's episode, I realized something really exciting that happened today. So I found a video on Snapchat exactly 2 years ago to this date. I remember the friend I was talking to you about Val's Corner. I found an exact video of me like recording the area. It was so cute. There was two chairs and a little table, and I was talking about having guests, and I literally called it Val's Corner podcast. So it was like, it was so surreal. Like I wasn't honestly being serious at that time, but for some reason, God heard it. I feel like he was probably laughing at me like, little does she know. So I was like, it's so exciting. So that was literally 2 years ago, July 13, 2022. I had this idea and I didn't really pay much attention into it, to be honest. It was 2022, July. It was after I graduated college. So that definitely was not on my mind. I started like an actual podcast. But it was so exciting to see that video when it came across my memories. And I was like, wow. 2 years ago, like I had this idea. It wasn't anything like spiritual or like something deep. I just thought it would be cute and like something, I guess, within that. Like I think like it was also always a passion of mine and God used that. So like I said, there's power in the tongue. So when you speak things out, God is listening. So me speaking that out, he made it come to fruition 2 years later. So that's just to say, like, it takes time. And that's perfect segue into the episode because in your singleness, you're waiting for a long time when it comes to, like, finding that person and what God called you to. So it's like, we're always waiting on God. So it's like, even though I wasn't serious about it at the time, talking about Val's Corner podcast, but God heard that and saw that little desire in my heart and made it come true. And now I'm doing the thing and like having guests on here and we're talking, we're chatting, and it's beautiful and people are learning. So it's like, I'm so grateful and all honored. Like I was literally sitting watching that video. I was like, oh my goodness, God, you really did it. Like I've come so far. Like you really did that thing. So let's get into today's episode. That's just a little spiel I wanted to say because I'm so excited. Like that's amazing. But yeah, so let's get into today's topic. So today I want to talk about purity first because I feel like, for me, that's where it came first before I focus on my singleness era. You're going to find out why I keep putting quotation for singleness. But I was literally reading what the Bible said about us being pure and like saving ourselves and what it means to stay away from sexual sin, sexual immorality. And I had an ouch moment. I literally had you know how when you read the Bible and it just hit a little bit way too close to home and way too close to comfort? That was what I had, like, literally before this. I was like, whoa. Like, yeah, it hurt a little because, like, it's in the Bible. Like, God wrote that about us and, like, what it means to stay away from sexual sin, what it means to be pure, what it means to keep our body whole, and like, what it means to preserve our bodies. And it was just something beautiful because I knew, like, purity is something I always wanted to do. It's a journey I always wanted to follow. Even despite what everyone said. So I'm going to just, full disclosure, I'm going to be honest because, you know, I kind of have to. But if I want to, I don't want to talk about things I haven't gone through or experienced. So like, for me, purity, so I'm saving myself for marriage. Full disclosure, disclosure. But within that, it hasn't been easy. Like me making that decision hasn't been easy. So I'll say that. Because when it comes to saying, like, being a virgin and saving yourself, it's something taboo in our generation. Like, not many people do it or think it's cool. So for me, little back to history, I grew up Catholic, and that's something they practice, like saving yourself a match. But they never explained it, and they never went to depth. To the point where, I'm not gonna lie, they made me scared of having sex. Like, the idea frightened me for so long. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. No, I'm trying to burn in hell. Because that's how they explain it. So during that time when I said I was going to save myself for marriage, or like, I did it out of fear of not trying to, I didn't want to burn the pits of hell. That's literally how they explained it. It's like, if you have sex, you know, you're doomed to hell. I was like, well, I guess I don't want to burn for eternity, so I guess I'm not having sex. So that was the first decision I made. I made it out of fear because I just didn't want to do that. So, but then throughout my life and, like, you know, high school, all your friends are having sex. So it's like, eventually that fear lessened and I was tempted to do it. Like, I'll say that. Like, I was tempted and I was put into a situation where I could have done it. But there was always something in the back of my head saying, no, like, don't do it. And then, like, when people found out that I was still, like, my friends, when they found out I was still a virgin in high school, I remember, for one, nobody believed me. Like, whenever I, like, for some reason, whenever everyone's talking about, because, like, when you're in high school, like, back then, that's what everyone was talking about, especially if that's what everyone was doing. So, like, whenever they were talking about their stories and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I never done that. No one believed me. To the point where I remember we were sitting at the lunchroom, and one of this guy, and everyone was talking, and I was like, yeah, I never done that. He's like, yeah, I don't believe you. To the point where every day he would ask me, like, so when are you going to stop lying? So I eventually got so frustrated. I don't know why. I just didn't stick to what I knew. And I was like, yeah, I had sex. And he believed me. So for some reason, every time in high school, everyone thought I had sex. But I didn't. So that part was like, I kind of felt guilty and ashamed of myself because I couldn't hold up my own. And, like, I was peer pressure into lying about doing something I didn't do just to kind of fit in and seem cool. And one, for him to stop bothering me, honestly. So that happened. But then college happened. You know, college, I feel like college was worse when it came to everyone finding out this decision that I made. It was like so many peer pressure. Like, everyone's like, oh, you're crazy. Why would you do that? And you know, the whole acknowledge word. Is that an analogy? A metaphor? Where it's like, what? You're not going to test drive the car before you buy it? And after a while, that knowledge, like, notion came, like, it's like weird to me now. Because, like, why? How are you describing your body to a car? Because in the Bible that I read today, in, like, 1 Corinthians, my pastor loved this man, Paul, he was talking about how holy and, like, how valuable our body is, and how God sees it as something that's precious and holy. And we're comparing it to a car. So now it's just like, we should value our bodies more because God values it more. So it's like, when people will say that notion, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to give in to the peer pressure. Like, everyone is doing it. Valerie, you might as well. It's kind of cool. So it's like, eventually, like I said before, obviously I was put into a situation where I was tempted to do things and I didn't do it, but it wasn't because I wanted to stay holy to God, but it was just because of fear. And now I'm kind of grateful that fear took over because I'm glad I didn't do it and I'm grateful I didn't cross that line. But at the same time, when we're talking about purity, I wouldn't say I'm fully saved, but there were things that happened that I didn't value myself enough, and I listened to the voices of people that I ended up doing, and now I regret. But then within that regret, God tells us, like, renew your mind, renew your testimony. So it's like, yes, I did stuff in the past, but it's like I kind of rededicated myself to God in a sense, like my body in a sense, like I rededicated to God. It's like, I'm not doing that no more. I'm not gonna let those thoughts feed into my flesh. I don't want to listen to my flesh. So I rededicated myself to God. So I stopped that. And I stopped listening to everyone's voices. Like, you got to test drive the car before you buy it. How would you know? What if you're bad at it? Da, da, da. And, like, that noise, it was so hard to quiet, like, the voices of my friend. So I just want to say, if there's people pressuring you to have sex, those people are not your friend. You should surround yourself with people who want to help you abstain from sex, not force you into it, especially if they know it's something, like, that God doesn't want us to do. So, like, if you're surrounding yourself with people like that, they're not your friends. There are people you need to try to black out. They're kind of like the enemy. You need to drown their voice out. You need to rebuke their voice. Because I wasn't, what's it called? I want to say I wasn't strong enough, like, but I let it, like, determine my, like, who I wanted to be, what I want to do. I let it interfere with my decisions of making things when it comes to God. Like, I just felt like at some point, like, I was like, God, you know what? Everybody doing it. I might as well do it. Like, why am I not doing it? Like, so, no, and then other things coming to that, you start questioning things. You start questioning God, like, am I not good enough for, like, guys to see me that way? Is it, like, it's a lot of negative thought feeds into that when you're listening to the voice of others and not God. So eventually, I made a decision to drown out the noise, drown out the enemy, drown out my thoughts. And I just said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to be on cool. I'm just going to have to be on cool and not do it. And that's okay, because, and eventually God's going to appreciate that decision. And when I do get in my relationship with my future spouse, he's going to appreciate that more because I abstain from it. And because now it's something we can experience together. Because in the Bible, God says sex is something beautiful. It's something between a man and a wife. And I'm like, and just to say, like, just because you've done it in the past, you know, everyone makes mistakes, everyone have error. But if you're willing to rededicate yourself and make that decision to renew it and abstain from it, God sees that. He's not going to, like the Catholic makes it say, you're not going to burn in hell. As long as you ask God for the forgiveness and seek it and willing to wait, like re-wait, because I know some people who've done it in the past and just made the decision to wait until their future husband, and it's been beneficial for them, and they're very thankful for that decision. So I'm not, just to say you've done it in the past don't mean you should keep doing it, but if you really want to abstain from it and do it in the union of marriage, I say do it. So yeah, that was my, I want to read you what I read, and that hit so hard that I was like, whoa, God, whoa. It was 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 NLT. It says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And we go to 11. It says, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So that one was just like, whoa. 1 Corinthians 6:9. It's like, it's telling you, if we're doing these things, we're not going to inherit. As much as like, the Catholic, like, they were dramatic about it, saying you're going to burn in hell. But in a sense, it's like, we're not going to inherit everything God has for us if we're doing these things. So we're sexual sin, worshiping idols, adultery, doing all these things that are not of God. Why do we expect for God to, like, welcome us into our kingdom? He don't want to hang out with, like, people who are doing bad all the time, like, corrupting the rest of his kingdom. No. So God's telling us, if we're continuing to do these things, he's not going to have us in his kingdom. But then he later says in verse 11, he said, some of you were once that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So he's like, even though you did those sins, even though you committed those things, even though you did all that thing, once you call on the name of Christ and rededicate yourself and you were made clean, God cleansed you, God forgive you of that sin, you're no more what you were. And he's going to welcome you to kingdom as long as you continue to stay that path of cleanliness and, like, give it all to him and surrender unto him. So I like that. So it's like, just because you did something in the past, you made a mistake, don't mean that have to hold you down for the rest of your life. Just cry out to God, ask him for forgiveness because he forgives us. And I also want to make sure I say this, because just because God is a forgiving God, but don't mean we get to abuse that power by saying, oh, God just going to forgive me. God knows my heart. And then we keep committing that sin. No, that's not how God works. God's saying you have to keep on that path of righteousness. And he's not saying, oh, you can't make a mistake. But if you actively, like, just go out and, like, do what you got to do and say, yeah, God going to forgive me. He knows my heart. That's not genuine. So don't do that. And, like, but, yeah, so don't listen to the naysayer. You don't have to test drive the car before buying it, because you're not a car. Your body's not a car. It's something sacred. It's something beautiful. And 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. We're sinning in the nation. We're going against our body and what God tells us to do. So he's telling us, like, don't do it. Do not, like, do that, because not only are we sinning against God, but we're also sinning against our own bodies and things like that. I don't want to read this whole passage because it's very long. But just read 1 Corinthians 6 from 12 until 18. And I'll end on this for the section of purity. It says in 6:18, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Whoa. That's the part I read. It's like, whoa. That's the part it sounds like. God cherished our body so much because he resides in our body. That's where God is. So why would you destroy something God is in? Why would you destroy a part of God? Because it says that, for God bought you with a high price, which was Jesus Christ killing his own son. That was the price he paid. Jesus paid for us. So it's like, he bought us with a high price. So we must honor God with our body. He's telling us this. He paid too much. Jesus died to save us from our sins. That's the price he paid. We didn't have to pay anything, in a sense. So he wants us to honor that with our body by staying holy, by staying pure first, by staying away from sins and immorality. So, like, do it to honor God. And the fact that it's like, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. Like, God is telling you, like, there's sin is sin, but, like, this sin literally affects the body. The body. Like, because we are the body of Christ, you know? So, our body is the temple of Christ. It's temple of God. So respect it, honor it. Don't just give it away freely, because God don't want that. He loves us enough to want us to stay pure, if that makes sense. So it's like, love your body enough and know that God loves you really, like, really, really loves you, that he wants you to stay pure. He wants you to stay whole. And that is something beautiful. And that's something you should, like, keep in the back of your head if you, like, you're trying to, like, if you go into temptation and you want to do something. Or, like, not just having sex, God saying our body, like, when we hurt ourselves, when we cut ourselves, when we say bad things about our body, when we call ourselves ugly, God's like, why would you say those things about something I created, something I paid for? He paid for it. Like, we are God. Like, so it's like, don't destroy the temple God made. And God wants you to use. And my pastor always said this, like, we can't be on, like, our spirit can't be on earth without a body. So technically, we can't be on, like, our body can't be here without our spirit. So we need the two, like, those two go hand in hand. So, like, we have, reset her, that hidden. We have to, we have to cherish our body and care enough and value enough to put work into it and not just say bad things or have immorality, sexual sins, and, like, having sex with other people and doing things like that. So it's like, we have to value ourselves enough not to want to save ourselves from marriage, save ourselves for that person God made, because sex is meant to be something beautiful between a husband and a wife. And it says that in 1 Corinthians 7 as well, when Paul is describing what happens with a husband and a wife, not just a man or a woman. So just to say, keep going. It's going to be hard. Like, there are days, because we're all humans, you know, our body, our human bodies react to things, but stay steadfast. And one thing that helped me to stay pure in mind, like walk with Christ, is like whenever I have a temptation or a thought or like a lustful thought, because like those will happen. Like I try to run to the Bible. Like also, what you watch can affect how your body reacts to things. And like when it comes to like sex and purity, so like if you're watching like people have sex on TV, and that is something you're currently struggling with, turn the TV off. Put something on. So like, because that's something I struggle with like as well. Like we can do a whole nother episode on lust and stuff like that. But like change your environment, change something. If you're having a thought, read the Bible or put on something totally funny to distract your mind. Because once your minds go there, it's like downhill from that because it's thought in the mind. So to help yourself in that situation with temptation and stuff, go to your word, see what God says about it. Start to journal. Even if you're having a lustful thought, journal that. And then later when you reflect, you're like, whoa, I was thinking that. Sometimes like a shock to your system. So reading your word, listening to music, changing the channel depending on what's on, and just going to God with it. Like only God can free you from that, because when it comes to the soul ties and things like that, I've never dealt with that, so I'm not going to speak on it, but I've heard it's very hard to break. And that's when you really need God when it comes to stuff like that. So if you're currently saving yourself from marriage, keep going. It's not easy, but it's totally worth it. I've heard, like, it's gonna be worth it, I'll say, because I'm waiting and I'm excited and all that. But like, it's gonna be hard. Don't listen to the other people's voices. Do not listen to those so-called friends that are trying to tempt you and stuff. They're not your friend. One, you should flee from them. And two, just make sure to know like that's the voice of the enemy. That's not it. And stay steadfast and call on to God. So that's purity. Now we're talking about my favorite and least favorite topic, singleness. I saw this, I'm laughing now because I saw this meme on Instagram and I sent it to my friend. It was like, you know how iPhones have different like iPhone 1, like iPhone 2, iPhone 4, iPhone Pro. And it was talking about single Pro, single Pro Max, single something. It's like all the levels of single. And I sent it to my friends like, bro, that's me. I'm a single Pro Max. Like, I'm a pro at being single at this point. Because I feel like I've never been in like a genuine relationship. I haven't been in a genuine like loving relationship. I've had situationships and those were just talks and had his own damage. But like actual like legit relationship, I don't think I've been in one. I haven't been in one. It's not I don't think. I haven't been in one. Like, I genuinely haven't had a boyfriend in my adulthood life. So that's me being single. So the reason why I said singleness is my favorite, because I love talking about love. I truly do. I love love with everything. And I used to say loves hate me because I've been single. So it's like, you see all your friends, they are in a relationship, they'll have boyfriends. And it's like, sometimes I like ask God, why not? Like, why not me? When it comes to singleness, there are a lot of things that come within that. And for me, I was watching another podcast where she was talking about it. And it's like, we can have different idols. And what's it called? It don't have to be like statues and things. Because for me, my idol was relationship, finding a husband. I idolized the idea of being in a relationship so much, I became obsessed with it. And it was all I could think about. It was all I could think. It was just all my mind. I was fantasizing what it would be like to have a husband, to the point where I was so obsessed with it, I got angry at God because I wasn't getting it. Like, I didn't, I was like, I'm surrounded. I was like, I would ask God, like, am I doing something wrong that you're not sending me my husband? But what I didn't realize is that he was not going to send someone. If all my attention was on that and not him, and I would only come to him for that. So I was idolizing a relationship so much, being in love, the idea of it, even though I don't know it. It's like, how do I say this? It was like my obsession literally took over my life. It was all I would talk about in conversation. And the reason why I love talking about it, one, I like hearing other people's business. I'm not even going to lie to you. But also, I like seeing other people struggle, seeing what they did wrong in the relationship So now I know when it's my time, I know not to do that. And I've seen so many failed relationships around me, like with my friends and things like that. And they did so many wrong. I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely not doing that. And then, so it's like, it was beneficial, but also it was hindering to me because I was surrounded by all these failed relationships to the point it's like, it didn't corrupt my mind in a sense like, oh, now I'm going to be doomed to be in a failed relationship. No, it was good and bad. I don't know the bad part, but I feel like because it was always on my mind, I just think it was bad. But like the good part was like, it did teach me something. It's like, it taught me what I don't want in a relationship, what I don't want in a man, and how I want to be treated. Because I see how all my friends was given, letting so easily these guys abuse them verbally and physically. And I'm like, in my head, because I'm not in that situation, I'm like, why were they allowing it? Why were they letting these men take advantage of them? Why were they letting this man not value their worth? But in my head, it's like, the reason why I wanted the relationship is because I had a void, and I thought a man would feel that. So when it comes to like that situation, it brought a lot of pain and a lot of emotion surrounding that. There was rejection because I felt like because I wasn't getting the attention I wanted from the guys I want, I felt rejected. And I always ask God, like, comes the thought, am I ugly? Am I not good enough? Am I not worthy enough? Am I not beautiful enough for a man to, like, want me? Well, in a relationship way, not the other way. So it's like, being obsessed with it, with the idea of it so much, it corrupted my mind, and I started dealing with things I didn't have to deal with, but, like, because I worshiped that thing so much, it brought heartache, it brought feelings of not feeling love and acceptance because I was broken. Well, we're all broken in some way. I'm still broken. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm still broken. I'm trying to heal that part of me with God in this season. So the rejection, one, it stemmed from other things that I'm not gonna get into right now. But that rejection, I put it on God. Like I put that on God. Like I came out with it for this weird reason. I thought it was God, like sending these men away from me. But it was also who I was. I was so broken that the only people I was attracted to was broken men. It's like you attract what you are. So, but it was never what I truly wanted, but it was just what was in my face. Like I had I had a situation where I was talking to guys, and at one point in college, I thought for some reason, that's when I fell off on God. I was like, ooh, God, I don't need you no more. I'm talking to like 10 of these guys. They all showing me attention. They all telling me how beautiful I am. We're texting, blah, 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 blah. And I left God. I was like, see, God, I can do this on my own. I don't need you anymore. But girl, was I wrong. It just went downhill from there. And then I just started crying every single night. And I had to drop all of it. And I had to drop all the guys. I was like, God, I need you back. Please take me. I'm so sorry. And it was a whole thing. And I had to, like, fall in love with God again. And it was a whole journey. Don't do that. Just because you get, because all attention is not good attention. Because the attention I was getting, like I said, was from broken men and men who wanted just one thing that I was just not giving. So that happened, you know, my little toxic phase where I was getting a little attention, that was it. But I wanted the relationship so bad, I was willing to settle. I didn't care. I was willing to get attention from anybody who would give it to me because I wanted it so bad. And I would get mad at guys like, why is not my turn? But I was broken. God's not going to send his healed son, his good son, to a broken girl to ruin his son, which is fair. I would not. Now it's just like, I would not want that. And I tell people, like, not the same. My pastor always say, you have to be whole in order to be prepared for something. Because you can't give half of yourself to someone. Because then what happens? Like she said, like I said, watch the last episode. You can't have, like, put on the responsibility of someone to make you happy. One, that's too much pressure. No one should have that. Only God should make us happy. We should be so happy in love with ourselves that if that love was taken away, we would still be fine because we're already whole. Because if you're broken and you give pieces of yourself to that person, now they're dealing with those broken parts of you. And now you have two broken people together trying to fix a puzzle. You know how hard it is to put together a broken puzzle? It just doesn't make sense. The puzzle has different pieces and they all go into each other. But when you bring them together, they're whole, but they're separate. So, like, you should be putting those, fixing those little puzzles yourself, those little broken parts, like the rejection part. You need to heal from that. That's a puzzle piece. The lustful thought, that's a puzzle piece. Your pride issue, your issue, your unforgiveness. Those are our puzzle pieces of ourselves that we need to put together already and not have to put that responsibility on someone else, especially a guy, because they have to fix their self, sir. So it's like I was broken trying to give little pieces of my puzzle to all these people that had no business having my puzzle piece when I should have given all that broken piece to God. Because when God heals you, he makes you whole. He healed. There's not a crack in that situation because he renewed you. He cleanses you. So it's like I wanted my healing from a guy because I had a void in my heart that I thought only a man could fill. But realistically, it was only God. And when I finally realized that void that I have in my heart, that emptiness, that yawning, stem for other things that I'm working on currently, it was like a door open, like my eyes open. It's like, whoa, that's why I wanted a relationship. Damn, I'm definitely not ready for a relationship. I always thought I was like, I'm ready for a relationship. I know these things. I know what not to do. I know how to do this. Da, 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 da. Those are all good, but those are all intellectual. I don't know the emotional part because if I were to give myself to someone, be in a relationship with someone right now, it would just deteriorate. I ain't gonna lie to you because I'm not fully whole yet. I'm still learning to love parts of myself I once hated. Like I would look in the mirror and like degrade myself, pick apart myself so much to the point I would cry because I didn't feel worthy enough. And to be in a relationship with someone, like to get in a relationship where you don't feel worthy and you have to find your worthiness in a physical man, it's just gonna end up bad because now you don't have confidence and you're insecure. And once that guy knows it, now he's like he has a leg over you. Now he has like power over you. And nobody should have power over you or authority over you. The power and authority is God. God controls us. What we say, how we walk. Even then, like we're not even a robot. God gave us free will to make our decision, but he asked us to surrender ourselves to him so he can take over. He asked, but physical man, if they see a little crack in you, sometimes they take advantage of that instead of trying to help heal you. So that's why it's like this. I like to say, you need to be whole in order to find your spouse. So for me, when it comes to singleness, I want a boyfriend so bad. I really did. I ain't gonna lie to you. Now it's like, I don't like to call it my singleness era because that sounds like I'm waiting for a man. I'm calling it the best version of me era. And I'm trying to find myself again in Christ. I'm trying to love myself again in God. And if that leads me to a man, sure, let him find me. Oh, I just read the story of Ruth, and I just had me remember what's it called? When she Ruth was so faithful to Naomi, and I was like, you can have many interpretations of the story of Ruth. For me, it's like, Ruth was so faithful to Naomi. She wanted to go where Naomi was. She listened to what Naomi said. She followed Naomi so faithfully. She was so loyal. And for me, I was like, I want to be so loyal to God like that. I want to listen when he speaks. I want to move when he said move, when he said jump, when he says this. I want to be as faithful to Naomi that Ruth was. I want to be as faithful to God because within that faithfulness, that loyalness, Boaz found her. Guys, remember. A man that finds a wife finds a good thing. It ain't said Ruth went out knocking on Boaz's door. No, he did not, baby. And that's why I keep telling people, if I'm still in the house, minding my business, going to church and work, and that's all I'm doing, that's what I'm going to do. I just felt a little bit, little spiciness in my tone in that because my family member always on me, why are you still single? You're gonna die single. You're going to be lonely forever. You need to go out to find a man. I'm like, no. The Bible said a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. Why am I going out my way to find a man? That's a lot of work. I used to do it. And girls, a lot of work. Don't do it. Sit down and be like Ruth and be loyal to God and be so faithful in your relationship with God. You don't see nothing. You don't see no man. He not cute. Don't look there. He not cute. Don't look there. He not cute. Don't be focused on a man. Be focused on the word. To the point where that's not even a thought anymore. You're not obsessing over it like I was. So I want to be as faithful to God as Ruth was because within her faithfulness in doing what she was doing, being herself, loving herself, she was literally in a field and Boaz spotted her And he's like, I know of what you did for Naomi. I saw your faith and I see your heart and I'm going to bless you. So it's like when God sees that, God blesses us. I'm not saying, you know, you have to do something for God to bless you, but God just bless you because he sees your heart. He sees what you are and what you're doing. So God bless her. Boaz, first Boaz wasn't going to marry her. He found someone else to marry her because he just cherished her so much. He's like, I'm not going to do it myself. And if that man wants to, he can. And she was like, sure. She listened to Naomi. Naomi told her to go do that. And so when the man declined, the other guy, Boaz like, I'll take care of you. I will give you this and this and this. I land and that. And she said, yes. Good for Ruth. She got her Boaz. Boaz was a great man. So within that story, that's just to say, let him find you. Like God says, let him find you. God literally made Eve for Adam. Eve didn't go looking. She was just made. And God was like, here, there you go. You guys are meant to be together. And that's what I want. I want a God order relationship. I want a God written love story. And I'm done obsessing over it. And you know, we women, we always talk about our timeline. Screw your timeline. It's God's timeline. Okay? I there's so much I'm learning in this season that it's like, girl, what were you doing before? Like, don't rush. Guys, timing is always perfect. No matter in our humanity, it looks like it's slow. It's not happening, you know. Oh, I'm almost 30. I want to have kids by now. Girl, don't write your life. I tried doing that. It just doesn't work out. So wait for God, because when you wait for God, I feel like it's extra special. It's more beautiful because you wasn't looking for it. You wasn't sent. And that whole cliche, it's going to happen when you're not looking, really, truly is. Ruth wasn't looking. And look at that. She got herself a whole man who was going to take care of her. So close your eyes. That's what I said. Every time I press the God, close my eyes until it's time to be open to him. So my eyes are closed. I see nothing. And I'm trying to be the best version of myself in this era that I'm in. I'm tired of obsessing over it all the time. I'm tired of it taking over my life. And I'm tired of that negativity that comes into my life within that obsession, that idolization. You can idolize a relationship. It don't always have to be a person. It don't always have to be a physical object. It can be money. It can be your job and things like that. We all have idols in our life. Just open your eyes to know what your idol is and fix it. That's the important thing, fixing it. Because you can know something wrong with you, but if you just stay in that and not try to work on it, there's no point of you knowing because you're not working on it. It's just, you're just festering. So fix it. Lean on God. Go to God and just build the blessed version of you. Make the best version of you. And in that singleness, you know how I said date yourself? Date yourself. This is your time to be selfish. Appreciate being single that you don't have to worry about someone else. And be whole. Get to that 100% because once you're at that 100%, ooh, girl, you're going to be on fire. Or man. Yeah, men too. You'll be on fire. So it's like, want to be whole. Get to be whole. And love yourself. Love your flaws as well. Because it's something beautiful. And I promise you, it's going to be worth it. I'm still waiting. And I know it's going to be worth it because it's going to be God ordained. And it's going to be God orchestrated. So I'm excited. I truly hope this episode blesses you guys. If anyone's struggling with either purity or is struggling in their singleness, please hit me up. I hope I could help. I could share my story, how I got through as well. But just keep going. God loves you. You're made whole. And yeah, love yourself. And if this episode bless you or you know this episode can benefit someone, please like, comment, share, and subscribe and do the notification bell because you'll get notified whenever an episode is posted and you can just go straight to watch it. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. It means a lot. And I'm just excited to see what God's going to do within this podcast and within me and with these topics and my guests. And I'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening.